Hello and welcome to the 9th annual Pokemon Championship Battle brought to you by Game Boy. Today, we have two champions colliding in the ring. Adam Fair and Josh McPherson come to the arena in order to get their championship belt.
Well, I really think these two goons in Pokemon here, they have two strong ones. I really have my money put on Adam, though. What about you, Dan?
Well, Adam is sporting a Pikachu in today's battle, which I think is a good choice. Very neutral, very cute and cuddly.
Right on.
Josh, in fact, has the Slowpoke Pokemon. A very, very interesting choice. He's been clearing the floor so far, but I think Pikachu is going to give him a hard time.
Well, why don't we just head down to the stage and see what's going to happen on the battlefield?
Let's get into the action.
Looks like we meet again there, mister.
I'm going to get you. My Slowpoke, he's been training for days, training for years.
I've been defending this championship for 9 years so far. You're not going to get in the way of this.
My Slowpoke, he's got a little secret up his sleeve.
Oh, do you think so now? I got a Pikachu that you can't be waiting for. Are you ready to lose there, Josh McPherson?
If by lose, you mean win.
Alright, well, let's get it then.
Hold on. Before we start this, drop the mix.
Yeah, man! Give me some soul!
We have some soul.
To be continued.
Alright, so we just do it now. I mean, I just press record and we go.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Josh.
How was your week?
We're coming down to this point where I think we're going to start boosting up some more episodes. So we're going to, okay, we got like, you know, those one episodes a week things and you got your seasons. I ain't doing no seasons, man. We're going to come out like all over the place. I think I'm going to trick the fans and they just need to pay attention to what I'm doing.
I think we're doing good. We got games coming out.
Yep.
We got some promotions, advertisement, giveaway shit, free codes, if you will. You know, got a lot of things coming at you. If you're an avid listener of Positive Podcast, we're going to be rewarding you handsomely.
Handsomely.
And as the episodes continue to go up, Adam's ego is going to be brought down into the ground.
By who? You?
By me.
I think it's time
we address the situation at hand.
There is only one situation, and it's that I lay the smackdown every time we cross paths.
There's a rivalry.
I lay the smackdown. And the people's elbow. I mean, like, you get to keep, like, the little armband that I throw out into the fans. Like, that's for you. You got to sign up for you at the end of the day, too.
See, me and Adam met as young lads, middle school. I knew he would be my friend, but I knew he was a work in progress. It was like an old car you find. That you have to, you know, one day you could restore it and it might be something nice. Or a fix-me-upper, if you will, of a house. Adam was the fix-me-upper house. He had, you know, he had a good interior, but there was a bunch of rats living in one of the bedrooms. So what I had to do was, when I met Adam, he was wearing a lot of baggy clothes, looking really hood-like, if you will. But at the same time, wicked white, too. So it was really, like, I was confused because he had a tall white tee on, but he looked like he just got out of the St. Patrick's Day parade. And I knew, it was like, you know, this kid's cool, he's in my gym class, we would hang out and talk, but...
Maybe that's where it sprouted from, dude. Like, that relationship building on gym class, where, like, all the physical, athletic talents that people, you know, wouldn't really care about, but, I mean, we definitely cared. Especially when it came down to, like, Ultimate Frisbee, and I started beasting on you in Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah, that's not how it happened. See, the thing that you'll notice is a lot of people in your lives will say these things that aren't true.
Yeah.
A lot of... Unvalidated facts at all. I don't think you've ever validated anything you've ever said. I think it's all just opinion.
Well, here's the first validation. You've already considered me your rival. So the moment you put yourself on a pedestal, the rival right there is... Like, why would you want a rival that was below you? You don't. You have a rival there right at the top of you. So you can't really put me down and all this stuff and that. You know, first of all, you know that there's irrefutable evidence out there that how this really works. You know, that I actually am a little bit, like, if you take out a ruler, you're going to see that my pedestal is probably about 2 centimeters taller than yours. So I stand just a little bit higher. And when you realize that, like, okay, Adam is at my kind of my level, maybe just a little bit taller, I have to give him the credit.
Okay. Is that what you have to say?
Yeah, well...
Now, how many words in those sentences could you define in a dictionary sense?
100.
See, the thing with Adam is, I'm sure we've talked about this before, because it's a common theme occurring in my life with him, yeah, is that he'll say words that don't even have anything to do with the conversation at hand. That it has nothing to do with anything. He'll just pop a word out that sounds like... It's one of those words that you don't... Like, you've heard it before, but you don't really use it all that often. Like, he'll say, like, something like inconspicuous or something like that. Yeah. Like, he'll say it in a totally... this irrelevant situation, and he's like, oh, it's an inconspicuous situation over here with this fridge. And well, everybody's like, oh, okay, I'll just hear him say that, and he was confident about it, and no one really cares. But I take a step back, and I go, hold on. You just said a completely wrong word. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then he knows I called him out, so he gets upset, and he has to defend his lies. And it's just a constant battle with this kid to really...
I wish you would, though, like, be able to tell me that what I'm doing is wrong, but also be able to maybe give me, like... help me learn why I'm wrong. I said just being like, yo, you're wrong. Because you're just as worse for me to say something like, yeah, this is the truth, and for you to be like, nah, dude, you're wrong.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Like, but you don't know either.
That's why I became your friend from the get-go. Perfect. Is it's like a do-it-yourself project type thing. You know, go to Home Depot, get the tools. The tools for me were to buy the new clothes, first off. Like, Adam, we got to get you out of these tall tees, get you out of these baggy pants.
That's crazy.
Maybe prep you up a bit, you know?
Well, you can't say you did that. I saw one day, like, yo, I can't remember the last time I wore tight jeans. You know what I mean? Jeans at all, for that matter, because I was wearing either baggy stuff,
yeah,
or, you know, if it were jeans, it was baggy jean shorts. So when I saw it, I was like, all right, let me try it. I tried yours on. I was like, they fit, they feel nice. And I wasn't wearing like a tall tee with...
I remember that day.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember you trying on my jeans, and you were like, oh, okay.
Like this. And then I probably like a month later, I must have had some pair of my own.
See, this the metaphor here is, once you put on the pants of a champion and you see what kind of life he's living, it really inspires you to go down that same path. You know, you want to become that person, almost, if you will. You know, you really want to take a walk in their shoes, if you will, which I'm sure you have, because you stole like half my clothes, so I'm sure you've walked in my shoes many a time.
Well, I mean, let's not deny the fact that, like, the reason why I still have, when I borrowed your clothes, I still have them, is because, you know, I was broke, so thanks for putting a
exactly shirt on me. Financially, you know, grammatically, just education-wise, sports, physicality, everything. I'm trying to give you the full package and a deal that involves friendship as well.
Well, it was a deal that I accepted on my behalf because the strength that it took for me to come out of my spot and realize, like, damn, this kid's going to throw that, like, in my face? Like, he thinks he's going to, like, shine just harder than I am? Hell no. So I realized, like, that's why I was put here, is to make sure that you can't outshine me. So... next time someone comes into the room, they're going to see me shining just a little bit brighter.
All right.
Like a shiny star in the sky.
That's a fair opinion, but that's all it is an opinion.
At this point, yeah, but I mean, we got if it was statistically, which we always go to settle all our disputes, statistically, I've won way more matches when it came to, you know, like...
Notice the stutter and the... and the hesitation right. In his
every jiu-jitsu match, almost every jiu-jitsu, I would say the majority of our jiu-jitsu matches that we've ever had, mind you, we don't have black belts in any jiu-jitsu. We're not masters of jiu-jitsu at all.
I'm going to tell the story then.
No, let me finish. So jiu-jitsu, because you're going to get into one particular story, which
he knows.
That's what you hold on to, though. Before he starts this, he's going to watch how he, like, glamour this story up. It's his pride and joy of a moment. Just listen to it when you hear it. Wait for those moments, like, ah, yes, and it's gonna be amazing. So, but that's only one story, and I think that I've won way more than okay. Majority wise, okay. Of course. But go ahead, tell your story.
The practices, if you will, that led up to this immaculate night.
Practices.
Adam is good. You know, we spar a little bit in a jiu-jitsu type fashion. You know, trying to choke each other out, get some arm bars here and there. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. But once the night came that I knew that everything was on the line, everyone was watching, everyone was listening, you know, all the attention was brought into this one area. It was a party at my house, home field advantage. Everyone was there in the living room, just standing around watching us. We started tussling a bit. Yeah. Shirts are off.
Right.
We just got out of the pool, so we're muscular, we're shiny.
I'm sure we're, like, drunk, too.
Yeah, like, we're just perfect situation, lights are all on us, music's playing, and there's got to be at least 35, 40 people in this one room just surrounding us, watching us fight.
Like, antagonizing. Yeah, 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 get him, get him.
This is...
It was a championship moment.
This is my UFC moment, like, this is it. So, we're going at it, we're having a great battle, you know, no one really knows who's going to win at this point.
Right, because I was...
back and forth.
I had you, you had me, and then it pretty much... Like, I remember getting beer spilled on me. Like, some dude was standing over us, like, yeah, and then dumped his beer on top of us.
Yeah, people were literally just pouring their beer all over us. But I'm so focused, and I'm so, like,
on
determined.
On your hardwood floors.
Yeah, I'm determined to win that. I just, this is not even in my mind. I'm blocking it out.
Yeah.
I eventually get at him into a nice guillotine choke. If you don't know what that is, I took his head and put it in between my arms, like a chokehold in wrestling, if you will.
And torqued it.
And just gave it a little twerk.
I,
until I felt those hands
whoa,
tap.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought... All right, let's get even more in-depth. I thought with all the beer... after, like, doing that for, like, 15, maybe 10 minutes, you know, it was really beating on me. Like, damn, I was like, yo, I'm tired of this, like... And then, you know, I'm sure you've gotten me into guillotines, like, and I've gotten out of them, but it takes a lot of strength to get out of a guillotine. So that last one, dude, you got me on that last one.
I was sick and tired
of these guillotines. I couldn't... My neck was hurting. Like, by the end of the fight, like, it was hard to hold my neck up because I was just trying to... Get out of your guillotines. Like, every time you got me guillotine, it was like, you had me there for
a
while.
It was a good battle.
And then,
like all good battles, the champion came out victorious.
This is the glamour part.
And I just remember getting up, both hands in the air,
confetti everywhere.
There is a picture on Facebook that I'm going to find now and put it on Instagram of me just gloriously yelling into the air.
Like a gladiator. Like a fucking gladiator.
So happy.
If you can put that, I'm going to find that boxing video.
That's fine. That's fine.
I can't wait for that one.
It's okay. This is a very big...
I'm getting people, like, messaging me on our emails, on our Instagrams, on our Twitters, on our Facebooks, which you can all go check out.
Twitters.
At Positive Podcast. Everyone's been asking me to put this boxing match available on YouTube for everyone to see. I'm telling you, that's going to be an awesome, like, endeavor. They're going to realize, like, dang.
I say we do one better when we live stream one.
I say we do it, too.
Live stream a live event, pay-per-view, you know?
Pay-per-view, exactly.
You don't got to pay, though. You just got to comment or something.
Give us a like.
Give us a like on Facebook or something.
Give him a like.
We'll see what, you know, our lives will continue, and we really will see who comes out victorious. You know, if you do die before me, which is probably going to happen, I'm going to go to your funeral, and I'm going to let everyone know I won. I'm going to be the guy.
Well, this is the thing. When I speak statistically, you know that I've won way more matches. Maybe not... the glory moment, which I know you're still holding on to 3 years later, which I'm sure every champion does when they reach their prime and they start to become a ghost. They hold on to that one little glorious moment. My odds of winning are strong, dude. People putting their money on me, not you. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's all I gotta let you know.
Alright. You love that underdog story.
I love being the underdog in this case. You are. I wish I was in your position, but I'm not.
You love being the underdog.
I do.
I guess it's my turn, huh?
I guess it is.
Taste of your own medicine.
You gotta learn how to know how to, like, fuel yourself, though, to go do that.
Well, like I said, once I'm standing in that room talking about your dead body, I'm just gonna say, you know, Adam was a good dude, he's a good friend, but God damn it, I won. And I'm gonna step off, drop the mic, and that'll be that.
That'd be the best eulogy ever.
End of the saga. Okay.
Season, like, 55. Because that's probably when I'll die. 55.
Well,
let's be honest.
Enough ego stroking, I guess. I saw in the news today that, or not today, it was yesterday, that you can, they have, people at Harvard can control muscles of animals with their brain, with their thoughts.
Yeah.
So, seeing that, I was like, okay, the future's here. So that's that. Immediately the future.
Right.
I don't know what that means, how that's going to affect everybody, but it's just crazy to me now that they can do that, you know? To know that my brain can control, like, I can just think, one day maybe I can think, I want that fridge to open, and my fridge opens, you know? And then somehow it's all mechanicalized where it's like, okay, my Xbox turns on now, and everything's just like, I'm thinking shit. You're thinking of everything that you want
to
do.
Right, so everything's like all Wi-Fi connected to your brain.
Exactly, and I don't, they have like a skin now, like it's not a skin, but it's like a soft or a thin film of like wicked thin plastic, but it's strong and it has like transistors in it or whatever, like a bunch of electronics. So you can wear it on your skin, you don't even feel it. And then you can like be like sensors on it. So now your whole body can have sensors on it, like determining heart rate or whatever like that, determining like how you're doing, your whole body's doing.
That's dope.
And then let's say you use those sensors, you know, with that controlling my brain to open the cabinet. And it's just, that's what I'm saying. The possibilities are endless.
One of the things that sucked, though, about living in this world is that, I mean, it sucks, but it's also, it's hard to accept how great it is in the, when you're in the moment. Because you think ahead, our creative, this is the creation point in our existence. Like, we're creating all these things, and really, our imagination go. After our time, like, our generation's generation, they're going to be applying their imagination to, like, their actual reality. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when you're going to actually start seeing ectoskeletons and almost immortality, having, like, some kind of crazy, you know, metamorphosis, where your arm just comes back to life, and you got this arm extension, you know?
Yeah. I think it's going to be, like, I don't know. I think eventually we're going to end up destroying ourselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to make some crazy computer that's sick, and it's going to turn into, okay, well, this guy can use it too, and he can use his brain to control the nuclear bomb that's underneath the bunker, and then he's just going to be like, oh, think of it, boom, and then he blows that one up, and then some other dude blows one up, and it's all North Korea, all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Mean? I mean, we shouldn't even have those type of weapons. Like, I mean, the gun did it. The handgun did it.
What do you mean it did it?
Made man equal.
How did the handgun make man equal?
It's easy. I mean, you take a gun, you shoot someone, you can take down basically anybody. You got a little small dude versus some big, heavy set guy who can easily physically beat someone up, give them both a gun, they're both on the same playing field.
Okay, I agree with that.
But it just involves maybe them two, and maybe like a stray bullet might clip someone else by accident. But you encounter the nuke, you put the nuke in the same situation. You know, you're talking not just of two people involved who are usually the dictators of the country. You're involving the entire country.
Yeah.
One dude could change the whole world.
And that's crazy.
One dude could be like, I don't like this country, I'm going to nuke them. And then that country gets nuked, so they're like, well, you can't. If you're going to nuke us, we're going to nuke you. And then that, you know, and then people are allies with this country or that country. Yeah. So it's just quick, like, boom, 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 boom. And you just see them going off everywhere. And that's it.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, you went from, hey, what's next, though? You're going to have starships in the sky taking on planets. I mean, for me, the nuke already put us on that level of, like, we're God. We have the ability to destroy the entire civilization, like, all life on Earth.
Yeah.
If we wanted to.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
So now what?
Well, we've checked ourselves, but I'm just saying, like, we've made that power.
So what happens when it's robot wars, where we both have robots sent into the line,
what?
And we're just fighting with robots? Like, is it gonna...
Could happen.
Is war even war anymore, or is war a video game at that point?
Could happen.
You know what I mean? Like, is it gonna be a bunch of nerdy kids sitting in a room playing video games, but the video games are real life? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
I mean, it all stems from people not being able to live with one another. You know? When the guns ever need... Like, I understand you need to protect yourself. And I guess it's whoever carries the bigger stick.
Yeah.
But, and then, now you have guns, which is your glow stick versus my automatic. I guess it really doesn't matter as long as I get you. So, I don't know, man. It's just... It's cool. I mean, everyone thinks that if everyone had a weapon, then we all would live equal.
Yeah, but once you have, like, not enough resources for everybody, you know, there's scarcity involved.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we have, you know, two apples outside, and there's three of us, and we all of us want apples, so...
Right.
Somebody can't get one.
And that's where your instincts, the human instinct comes back. I think being a human is almost kind of like a lie. Being able to lie to yourself and say that, like... Oh, this is not the type of person I am until certain situations are involved. I mean, there's real true humans out there who would probably give, like, certain things that they... You would think that they would necessarily need to keep themselves alive for yeah. survival, which people revert back to instincts when it comes to surviving. But there's only a few people out there who would, you know, give, like, their half of their bread to someone else. You know what I'm saying? That's cool.
Yeah, but that comes out of, like, you have excess, you know?
It's not excess, but let's say you had excess, but you, because you did that, now that puts you in a situation where you had to think about tomorrow.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you're starving, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about you're comfortable now. Let's say you're starving on the street.
Yeah.
And you have, now you got this piece of bread. You're going to eat the piece of bread because you're going to die if you don't, you know what I mean? If you're at the point where, that's what I'm saying, I don't think this happens until, let's say, all the nuke goes off, or the EMP blast, or the solar flare, or whatever, and all the electricity goes down, and now it's grow your own food and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Now right. It turns into no more electricity. You gotta fend for yourself. So it's like people who know how to do that are gonna know how to do that, and they're gonna have. You know, I'm sure there'll be situations set up where, you know, people can live comfortably and have food, but then there's gonna be other people out there who are looking to go take that stuff, you know? Like, they're going to see the preppers and go, oh, I'm going to just go all up in this and try to take over this, you know, farm, take it all for me and my family. Because that's what it is. Like you said, humans just have instincts. We're all trying to survive. And if me surviving means you have to die, you know, it sounds like cruel or whatever, but...
But that's what I'm saying.
People who will do that.
There's a lot of people, we live this life.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, that's the intentions of us humans, is to go and live peacefully.
It's society and culture created that. Like, like back in the day, like if you're a monkey, you're gonna, if you're about to die, you're gonna eat your baby. You know, people do that. Yeah. Even humans do that when they get stranded. You know, people get stranded on a plane crash or something like that. They'll eat their baby.
Yeah.
And
maybe that fucks that person up more. I mean, you try to come, if that person eats their baby there and they're introduced back into society, that person is now fucked up in the head almost. Like, you might think they might be, I don't know, like, you wouldn't, on the outside of the box, be like, oh, I mean, it's kind of fucked up, but I mean, what would you do? And you'd be like, oh, well, I guess he's right. Well, but that person, mentally, is now fucked up. You take an animal who just, like, oh, I'm hungry, let me eat my child, doesn't go on being fucked up thinking it's going to phase him.
That's true. But what if you had to eat another guy? Like, a dude. Like, he was, you know, let's say you're on the plane, you're talking to him, you know, just hanging out. You're going to kill him, right? You're going to eat him.
Kill him.
So he just becomes food source at that point.
Yeah.
At one point, culture goes away. At one point, the whole, like, expectations of society go away. You know, once it crumbles, then we revert back to the animals that we are.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all we are. Really,
we are animals.
Animals with language, really.
Too many people think they're, like, they're up on this pedestal. And, you know, it's cause, like, realize that we are humans. Realize that the person traveling down the street, you know, looking all pissed off or driving in the car, being all pissed off and stuff, just give him a sec, you know? You don't know exactly what he just came out of or what she just went through, and they've obviously are venting out in a different way. Let them fucking do it. Just because it takes a little time. People just don't have patience. And that's that instinct, dude.
Is that animal instinct coming out?
It's that animal instinct.
The patience, but...
Because to me, and that animal instinct thing is not living. You're basically a drone. You're fucking flesh with electronics on the inside moving for you, and it's just it's necessary for certain moments for you to survive. Like, that shit needs to take over, and it's gonna take over, and it's just gonna react for you, but you're not reacting with conscience before action, you know what I'm saying? You're just acting, you know?
So you feel pissed off, so you do what you do when you're pissed off.
Where the testosterone comes in, and then you're just doing it.
Start punching things.
Right.
I remember I've gotten mad before, and I punched the ceiling of a car. And right when you're done, you're like, why did I do that?
I punched your fucking roof, because I was drunk maybe, right? No, we were dancing.
Haven't you punched,
we were club dancing, and I was just like, doing that, hit your roof.
Oh, downstairs?
Yeah. Your drop ceiling.
Yeah. Maybe go buy some of those. Yeah, thanks, bro.
Sorry.
It's all right. Put that head down, huh?
Yeah.
This is another example.
Well, what were we talking about?
You devolved. That's what happened. You went back to your animal. You drink. You go to your animal instincts.
Yeah.
Go straight there. You just want to break things, and you want to fuck things. That's all.
It's the devolving juice. That's a true serum right there. A little elixir. Like, devolve today!
But yeah, the trick behind it is, as you devolve, you want to devolve more. You keep drinking, you just want to keep going back and drink. You want to keep getting drunk until you're passed out in a fucking cell somewhere, and you wake up, and now...
So you basically sound like a hollering monkey, and you're just like...
Yeah, you go back to square one. That's what it is. You end up at this pivotal... I kind of want to see it happen. You know, I obviously don't. I enjoy living the way I do.
What, from the out-of-body experience?
Like, no, I want to see, I want to see what would happen to society if it all went away. Like... If electricity shut off, I think I would be really interested to see what would happen if all the electricity shut off.
Yeah.
Like, gas, you can't pump gas anymore, you know, all that
stuff. There'd be really, like, mechanical ways to get shit done, though.
I'm sure that...
If a car will work.
Yeah, I'm sure we could figure it out, but I think it would be way different. Like, internet's gone at that point.
But how is, like, electricity really going to be gone, though? What are you really, like, going to lose when, say, like, a solar flare damages everything? It takes maybe about a year to get shit back up and running again. I mean, us, we have the Hoyle Dam, so that can easily... Provide power necessities, though, like a hospital and, you know, food marts and stuff like that to keep food cold. Other than that, when I get back home, I have to deal with my own shit.
Yeah, but you got riots instantly. The second this happens, riots are going crazy. You're going to have people who think it's the end of the world. They're going crazy. You're going to have people who...
Yeah, but those people are scared of the majority, though. You're going to... If those people are going to be going crazy and nuts, and there's going to be other people who want to be calm and collective and see how shit works out instead of going crazy, they're going to fucking be... On top of those people, let's put them in a fucking cage. No one wants to be the minority person there and, you know, get shut down by the majority who want to have, like, a cool conversation and see how we're going to ration things.
Yeah, but...
You think people are just going to go, like, grab things and run away?
Economy's done. Economy is falling apart because...
You guys still have people in politics and stuff like that?
Dude, there's no more internet. There's no more communication. There's no way for me to talk to some dude across the street without going to talk, see him face to face.
We did it fucking 200 years ago.
I'm not saying we can't do it, but I'm saying right off the get-go, from day one, it's going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be, oh my God, Stop and Shop is nuts right now. People are shooting each other. Like, people are going to get... Because they're going to be thinking the worst. They're not thinking, oh, this will be fine soon.
Yeah.
They're going to be thinking, oh, shit, this is it. Because once you see that one dude doing it, and you see people start going into that like mode, like, oh, this is it, then you're going to start realizing, oh, shit, this is it. It's the mob mentality, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to start trying to make those moves.
I see... It's funny when you see similar actions in monkeys. When you see monkeys doing things that humans are doing. Like, when you see, like, baboons in, like, Thailand, whatever, and then they fucking, like... If they get the opportunity to, they go through all your shit and they're like throwing clothes everywhere and smelling it and grabbing food and then running away and just collecting and going, scavenging.
Is this like the guy who's sniffing the panties?
Yeah.
Is that what he would do?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what that is.
He's sexually driven. Just and off into the next panty.
I truly believe we all are all sexually driven.
Yeah.
Like, very subconsciously though, like the reason you do everything is not sex in a sense, like, sex is more in a sense to spread your seed, more in a sense to, like, you know, continue on your, like, lineage.
Yeah.
That's why that you gotta, like, why you wanna be the star football player, so the girl likes you, so she'll sleep with you, so you can bring your kid out into the world, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think. I don't know. But who knows?
See, maybe some of the basis of, like, certain, like, religions that involve your being, like, not a human. Like, not a, I mean, not an animal. If you take, like, Buddhists and stuff like that, who are trying to reach enlightenment, I think people, or you take priests who vow to never have sex again, they're trying to stray away, I think, from being that instinctual mechanical, because it is a pleasure, and it is a some kind of gift for us as a human, a human trait, to do human-like things, you know, to be able to cut away from that. Yeah. So I think it's important to kind of touch back on being not so instinctual. You know, because it does require energy to kind of stop yourself from doing it.
Yeah, it's just conscious thought.
Yeah.
Not just thought, like, well, I thought I was angry, so, you know, I thought about it and I got angry. You got to really think about, why are you angry? Why are you feeling this way? Why are you doing these things?
Yeah.
But people don't do that.
No.
I don't do that sometimes. You know, we all don't do it.
Right. It's just a way to train your body. I mean, if you do it more often now, you're helping yourself in the long run when it does come down to those certain situations and you're reacting on basic instinct, split decisions, and... Your body will be in tune, ready to just kind of accept life and be ready for that.
Very inspirational.
It is inspirational.
Very inspirational, Adam. I'm proud of you. And I feel like you've come a long way since those days at the tall tee and staring at me with a hood look on your face like you wanted to rob me. I thought you were going to rob me.
I still will. I'm looking at your shit.
Is this, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is this some huge, like, fucking scheme where you become my friend for 10 years and you rob me?
You guys want to know how this has worked? This is called the best friend scheme. You climb your way to the top.
It's a 10-year move.
Took 10 years. I'm sure you could do it in just about that.
You got your Pokemon cards out? You ready?
I got the rares. What you got?
The holographics, dude.
Well, you don't got the rares, because that's what I am. I'm rare. I'm rare for...
Rare.
Rarity in your life, right?
We are coming up on the break. If you haven't, tell your friends about us. I know you do. Go on your Facebook. Share it. We're actually going to be having a contest soon. You start sharing. People share positive podcasts. We're going to be giving away a free 2-week trial to Xbox Live. I know it's small, but give something back to the fans.
Yeah, it's something we have, man. I try to find things in my house, like, yo, would someone like this teddy bear? Probably.
Probably would, dude.
Probably.
So, yeah, if you want
to. Do I want to give it away? I don't know.
If you want that 2-week trial of Xbox Live, keep listening. We're going to give some details away. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We'll let you know how to get that. Other than that, give us a review on iTunes. Subscribe. Yeah. Go on Stitcher. We're on there, too. And, we're going to be to this Pokemon battle, I believe.
Stick around for more soul. Yeah, Dan.
And we are back. It looks like our... contestants are ready to battle down on the field, Dad. What do you see happening in this fight?
Well, I see Josh throwing out his Slowpoke. Then he got Adam, who's got the Pikachu.
Well, that's what's going to probably happen, so let's bring it out down. See if that unveils.
know what, Dan? Enough with the... Let's just get to the battle.
Are you ready for this one, Josh? I'm gonna throw my Pikachu at you, and you're not gonna be able to stop it.
Slowpoke, I choose you!
Oh! Pikachu, go!
Pikachu! Oh, your Pikachu sounds like a bitch to me.
He's gonna give you a nice thunder shock that you won't ever forget. You and your Slowpoke are going down.
Slowpoke, slow chop! Oh! Slowpoke! Is it... Slowpoke's evolving!
Look at this, Dan! Slowpoke is evolving into...
Slowbro. Yeah! My Pokemon evolved into the Slowbro! The most slowest bro of all!
I don't know if I can deal with it! He's got a blind hand! He's got Birkenstocks! He looks damn so chill!
Yeah, Slowbro, get him!
Yo, bruh, it's Slowbro. You need to just chill.
Oh, there you have it, John. There you have it. Slowbro, with the chillest chill move of all, has won for Josh McPherson today in the Night Manual Pokemon Battle.
You see, then, that Pikachu can really does the slowest punch of all. And that's what knocked him out. I can give it to Josh here. He did a good job. It's finally the time that we have a new champion now, don't we?
This is true. Everyone, thank you for watching again. And like Slowbro said, be chill.
And we're back from our Pokemon battle. Adam, I'm sorry you took the loss there. My Slowbro is just a little too chill for you.
Yeah, you know you like to sound just a little too confident when you start to sound like Barack Obama. It's like, yeah, you know what, Adam? You fucked up with your Slowpoke.
You did.
And you're Pikachu.
Pikachu? Well, who picks Pikachu? Honestly, that's the most generic character
to
pick.
Well, I picked Pikachu because Ash has stood with him through the whole time. Right? How many battles did that motherfucker win for Ash?
You could have used a Thunderstone, right?
I don't want it. He doesn't take it for some reason. He's like a genetic mutated Pikachu.
Sure it's not a dog?
I'm sure it's not a cat either, or a rodent rabbit.
Because you told him to Thundershock and nothing happened. Just kind of stared.
He did the Thundershock, but your bitch-ass Slowpoke was just too slow.
Slowbro.
Your later evolved into Slowbro, Slowpoke. It was just too slow to dodge the Thundershock.
I think your brain's too slow to talk right now. It's okay, though, you know?
It makes sense, doesn't it?
As we were saying before, I'm going to bring you along this journey. I'm going to teach you the things that I've learned throughout life.
Teach me.
You are older than me.
Teach me something now.
All right. Well, first of all...
You're going to teach me something about myself?
I think that you... How do you feel about reincarnation?
I feel about reincarnation that I believe it.
You believe in reincarnation?
I do.
Okay, so what
happens... In a sense.
So, now with these ideas we were just talking about earlier with people controlling thoughts and, you know, I can use my thought to open the fridge and open the... Okay. Whatever, you know, control things with my brain.
Right.
Not now, but it just showing it on those animals shows that one day that could be possible. You know, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
What does that mean for like a reincarnation type thing? Because now if you're using your brain as a consciousness and you're controlling things, you have the ability to do this, you know, what's going to happen from there?
Well, what's going to happen from there is pretty much nothing because I don't think reincarnation has anything to do with consciousness. I think reincarnation has to do with energy. I know people, the understood belief of reincarnation is, you know, well, this is the reincarnation of a past life person, and he's basically the same person but doesn't know it, you know what I mean, but just in a different vessel.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I believe that energy is reincarnated.
What do you mean by, I think consciousness is energy.
No.
In my head. I just think it makes sense to me as in, like, the brain is somewhat like an antenna, and it's picking up the consciousness, and your consciousness once you die goes out into the realm, you know, into another, wherever it goes. And
well, like, you know, like you just said, your consciousness is your antenna.
No. Your brain is the antenna.
Well, your brain is responsible for your consciousness.
They don't know that. They said consciousness is involved in the brain.
You take the brain out, there's no consciousness in the body.
Listen for a second. I'm saying the brain is an antenna, okay? Let's say the radio. Let's say you have a radio right here.
Yeah.
This radio. The radio waves are still going around, no matter if this radio exists or not.
Yeah.
But until the radio is here and picks up the signal and broadcasts it, now that's, you know, it's picking up a signal. The signal's still going to exist without this radio or not.
Right.
So I think maybe our brains are picking up some type of signal that's being, like, broadcasted out there. I don't know where it's from, but let's say you die. That signal's still there.
Right.
But it's just not picked up anymore by this radio, which is our brain. You know, because they say that consciousness is involved with your brain. Like, your brain is involved in it. But they don't know. They don't have, like, areas of the brain that are mapped out. They don't know where consciousness lies in your brain. That's the one thing that scientists don't know about. It's like, they can't describe consciousness.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I can't tell you what's right or wrong, but I think it makes sense to me that that may, you know, because
I think a lot of that has to do with another conversation, probably another episode, because I can really get deep involved with that.
Well, go ahead, dude.
Well, no, not, I mean, I can still, I'm going to still add to this, but we're just straying off the course of really what the reincarnation part we're talking about, is the fact that, I agree with you, that there is some kind of, like, maniple of energy being floating around, and it really takes shape only because of the brain. It only becomes what you see today, and what we all can agree on is because of the brain. I agree.
So, but let's say that you have this antenna that's picking up your consciousness, and let's say you can eventually download your thoughts into this, because, you know, you're using your brain now, you're controlling things. Eventually they're saying you can be able to download your thoughts into a computer, and now you can live on forever almost, you know what I mean? You can load up grandma when she dies.
Are they saying this?
I'm just saying, like, it's not happening. It's not happening, but I'm just saying, like, it's, people can record their memories at some point. You know, they're using their brains. The possibilities are out there, and they're actually, like, possible. It's not like, could happen one day. It's just that, like,
it doesn't blow my mind. It blows my mind, but, like, not so much where, like, yeah, well, this is tomorrow. Yesterday's tomorrow's a matter. Well,
let's say, like, 50 years from now, you can take all your memories.
Yeah.
Everything about you, your mannerisms, just your whole consciousness in your brain. You know, what you are as a person in your brain. All your memories, download it into a computer, recreate it, 3D print it. You exist as a robot now with the same type of, like, it's you, but you're a robot. The way you acted, the way your memories
fade. But you're saying that my conscious follows this person?
That's what I'm saying. That's the dilemma I have, is like, so now what? What if we can recreate a puppet of Adam? Does he have, but he doesn't have consciousness? Is
so
that
then
Adam?
So then maybe what the issue is here is that your brain is not the antenna, but the vessel itself.
What do you mean?
That, like, in order for consciousness to exist, your brain has to exist. In order for your brain to exist, consciousness needs to exist.
So your brain can't... Well, what do you say for a mouse?
A mouse? That's awareness. They have consciousness, but their awareness of the consciousness in the world around them isn't strong like ours. The smarter you get, the more intelligent you are, the more awareness you have. Thus, your consciousness is stronger.
Well, how do you define consciousness then for you? What do you think of as consciousness?
Consciousness to me... It's hard because, like, what about dreams? You know? Like, what happens to your consciousness there?
I don't know.
You know? And what about those instinctual moments that we were talking about earlier when it's a sudden, you know, is that your consciousness being your, like, who you are? Like, because that's what I think who people are. Your true consciousness is who you are. Not your outer shell and, you know, your fucking scruffy-ass beard. Just your real inner being, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that person is going... I kind of forget what I was talking about here.
Nice. It's marijuana brought to you this episode.
You were following along, so help me out here.
The way I see it is that consciousness is the person who's asking yourself, what am I doing today? Like, you're asking yourself a question, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
What do I want to do? Like, what am I doing? Like, it always seems like there's two people in my brain almost. Like, there's one... who is doing, and there's one who is evaluating what I'm doing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know when you, like, you take a step back and you think about things? I feel like that's more of, like, a conscious thought. When you really, like... Because you have autopilot where you wake up, you know, you go in the shower, do all this stuff, you know. You're thinking, but you're not really thinking. You're just doing.
Yeah.
But then there's that thing inside of you that's, like, you know, your inner voice where you're, like, making decisions. You're thinking about things throughout the day. You know, you're really, like, getting in-depth in your mind about how you feel about things, where you come out with conclusions about, you know... arguments you're having or whatever like that. You know, you're really thinking things out.
Yeah.
I don't think animals do that. I don't think they're sitting there thinking about things that, you know, thinking, planning and all that. So I think that has a lot to do with what my consciousness is. It's really like, so is that getting picked up from a fucking soup in the sky that I can't see? You know, who knows?
But is it like a third eye, if you will?
Exactly. The fact that scientists can't define it is just kind of perplexing to me, that there's no real explanation for why we are conscious beings. It's just like a...
But do you figure there is an explanation?
I'm sure there is, but there's no, like, scientific explanation at
this
point.
No, but do you think there's an explanation, but do you think it's exact, like, to the point where science can figure it out?
I don't know. I mean, I hope so. I would love to know the answer.
Because it almost seems like, to me, once you measure it, and you get an idea of, like, being able to replicate it, then it seems like the idea of consciousness is thrown out the window. Because the fact that consciousness, like, it's already perplexing enough to say that reincarnation has anything to do with consciousness. Because there's already been how many brains before more brains are created? Where do you get the extra consciousness to fill those people?
But that's what I'm saying.
People? So
there's a brain that has the antenna.
Yeah.
And it's picking... Okay, so you die. Your energy is back into the soup. It's no longer getting picked up by this antenna. A new baby's born, let's say.
Yeah.
It has its antenna that peaks up. It needs to pick up a signal. So it picks up a consciousness. Let's say that's your consciousness. That's the idea of reincarnation. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you're born again. You don't remember it because you're just consciousness.
See, what I don't get, though, is that the reincarnation part is taking this born-again person and being born again. Not really separating into... Because you got so many people back in the 1900s. Let's just say, I'm keeping it a century.
Yeah, okay.
100 years, 1900, 2000, yeah. 2000, right? In those 100 years, there was an exponential amount of more people than there was in 1900, right? So what is that extra consciousness, the pattern of even one person
You're thinking about it in a small scale of Earth.
Okay.
I'm talking about the whole universe. Who's to say there's just not millions of consciousness floating around, you know what I mean? This is all fucking hippie shit we're talking about, but I'm just saying, like, it's just interesting to me. The whole reason I think about this is just, like, it's interesting how you have these things where people are dying, or they have these out-of-body experiences type things, and you always get, like, that, I felt like I was in a familiar place, it was light, there was people around me that I knew, you know, it was very familiar. And it's like, when I hear the theory of, you know, this whole consciousness is a big, like, ocean, and you just go back into the ocean of consciousness... It makes sense that that's a familiar place. It makes sense that you know all these people, all this light, all this, you know, it's a familiar territory for you and you're comfortable. Because a lot of times you hear these stories, it's not, oh, I was scared to death as I was dying. I mean, you're scared as it's happening, but once you get that whole, like, out-of-body experience type thing, where, you know, you get to go in the light in the tunnel, it's always like this happy feeling of joy and just peacefulness, humbleness, you know.
Okay.
Everybody has these same, like, just happiness feelings about them.
Right.
So to me, I mean, it makes sense that me and you sitting here talking right now...
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's amazing, I think, that we have this language and all this, that we can do this. It doesn't make sense that if we all just died, like, if you turned off tomorrow, like, that's it? That's the end of Adam? I mean,
yeah.
I think your energy is still... Like, energy doesn't die.
Right.
You know?
To me, like I said, to me, it's energy. It's not consciousness. Because energy will form in such ways that are... the ratios are off. It's like the golden ratio, you know what I'm saying? Nothing is... symmetrical. Nothing is balanced. Because if energy was balanced throughout the world, there would be, or throughout the universe, there would be no, like, hot spots and cold spots for unique things to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why I think that it's the same thing with the energy involved with consciousness. You know, when certain things were just happening at the right moments, all of a sudden sparked, like, a new universe in your brain. And that allowed for, like, a plethora of endless possibilities and endless chances of within your own the circumstances, of course. But that's like I said, that birth would be connected like an umbilical cord to the energy of the entire world. Though I think for us being so small, our world is just our world. It's, you got the planet, but the planet's umbilical cord would be our solar system, and the solar system's umbilical cord would be the universe, and so on and so forth, and there's in like almost crazy extension. But I feel like at a certain point, the universe is so massive, one corner and one corner, I just feel like we'll never be apart. It's so massive. For any flying ship to get to this point, it's almost impossible, because it's, I mean, we agree as humans that what we know about the universe is it's expanding.
Well, what about the idea of like
light isn't even reaching us because it's moving too far away?
So what about like the idea of interdimensional things, like things that can travel not from point A to point B, but just go fold in between that into point B. You know what I'm saying?
What is that, interdimensional?
Like, they pop in, pop out. That's what some people think aliens are. It's just not this thing that's traveling in a ship from a planet, but it's in a different dimension, and it just pops in and then pops out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know. That's... Okay, if you really want my take on it...
That's why we're here.
That's true. I mean, I have an imagination. You want to hear my imagination side, or you want to hear like what I really, really think? So,
paint me a picture, dude.
Well, I don't really have a definite opinion on that because it just there isn't really like anything on it, like the dimensions. You know what I mean?
You can't, but you can't fathom it. You can't understand.
Like I said, that's what I'm saying. I can't fathom it.
But do you think that? What do you like? This whole aliens idea. That like, let's take that. This whole traveling in and out. Like, what do you when you see a flying saucer? And I'm not saying you've seen a flying saucer, but
yeah.
With all these accounts of people who've seen flying saucers, what do you think that is? Do you think it's like military? What do you see when you see that?
I don't know.
All right, that's.
I mean, do you? I don't want to put my answer out there because I don't want to pick anything right now.
All right, so in Phoenix, I think it was like a couple years, 8 years ago or something like that. Huge football size, like triangle with lights. Just it looks like it's a big triangle of lights, like. At each point, there's a light. And it's a massive thing that goes over Phoenix. Everybody's... A bunch of people see it. There's videos, all this stuff. What is that? You know, people see it. It's on the news. But nobody has an answer for you.
That's what I'm saying. There's no answer.
But what do you think that
is? Not a single answer. Something so crazy in the sky. Football fields, yards large. It's flying across the sky. And no one can come up with a good... answer or like a good picture and give us some details.
There's a YouTube video of it. If you want to look at it, you can see it.
I just feel like until I see it with my own eyes and I can be like up close and have some refutable evidence. I mean, there's things out there where people go like, well, it's a figure in the sky and it's just it might do some movements where no jet with like a single trajectory can really do those type of maneuvers.
Yeah.
Without experiencing some like crazy G-force. Well, all right, yeah, but. What if it isn't a jet? What if it's something else? But it is human. We're all just looking up into the sky and seeing like something. We don't even look into the sky enough to realize like, damn, that... To say that little sparkle right there is a UFO. We see a little bit of movement in the world and it's like, oh, that's a shooting star. Like, no, that was actually a satellite. Or truthfully a satellite. You know what I'm saying? There's people. We don't look into the sky enough to be able to make these decisions.
You're right. We don't look into the sky enough, but... That doesn't mean it's not out there. You know, just because you don't see it doesn't mean something doesn't exist.
That's what I'm saying. We're just letting our imaginations play with what we want to say to someone else. Like, our imaginations is coming out, and our ego and our consciousness is coming out all at once and saying, this is my dream, this is my belief now, my creation. Now it's true, and I'm going to try to make you to believe it.
Like you see a UFO?
Yeah.
I remember I was like a good, probably 2 months of my life where I was just obsessed with, like, aliens and UFOs and just, like, I wanted to see one so bad. I want to see my own UFO.
All my friends were like that.
I remember driving with my girlfriend through West Springfield, and I swear to God I seen this thing in the sky. You know what I mean? Like, I seen this, like, light doing this weird... It was a weird-shaped light in the sky, and I tried to, like, track it and see it again, but I never saw it. Yeah. And I always wonder, like, is that my... mind playing tricks on me because I want to see it. You know what I mean? It was at that point in my life where I was obsessed with it, like going on YouTube and like looking up videos and all. You ever like, get sucked into YouTube like that? Where you're like
so many times, dude.
Just watching these crazy videos that don't even have anything to do with.
I see the compilation of UFO videos, but like it was like the most recent ones in 2012 over like Brazil and stuff like that. So many things that like these formations that they're making, I was like. People are really seeing this? Like, yeah. Is this, like, computer-generated? Because it looks like it might be computer-generated. It could be computer-generated.
But let's say, what if you see that with your own eyes, dude? That changes everything.
Changes everything.
For you.
But then that's the thing, too. I've been so saturated by this thing called UFOs that my first thought, boom, UFOs.
Yeah, you're right. It's aliens. Oh, it's aliens. It's true. But I just want to see one. I want to see one for myself.
You got to see it up close. If you look up into the sky and you see something moving crazy like that, it could be... There's not a lot of things out there that could be... Yeah, and not even aliens.
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
Could be the military.
So be the military doing some crazy
NSA
shit.
NSA just watching us, listening. You know?
Maybe the military is aliens.
You seen them? You seen the NSA now is watching our computers too now? Like basically everything you do on the computer is being watched as well?
What do you mean? Like your keystrokes and stuff like that?
Like basically everything you're doing is being watched now. Yeah. Except for like sleeping in your bed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's it. It's nothing. What are you going to do now? How do you hide?
There is, I mean, that's basically the toppling effect, the one-sided scale effect right there. It's just going to, when it comes to intelligence, they can pretty much create, erase, and change anything at that point, can't they?
Can make you out to be anybody.
Exactly.
This podcast is going to be stopped soon, I'm sure of it.
It's going, our computer's going to blow up in our faces and kill us both.
I'm going to come home one day, both my dogs will be dead. I'm going to have just everything thrown apart. Nothing will work.
I just think that if the government thinks that they can do this, where do they stop now? Where do they go from there? Where? I mean, because, the NSA is a branch, and, you know, they use the internet and that connection to pretty much gain more intelligence. Now, eventually, you can either build on top of that, make things faster, or create a new medium to make things, like, evolve. So, I mean, there's always going to be a way for someone, and especially with the government, a way they're going to have, like, a will to want to get the best intelligence to trade for your safety. Does that make you mad? That makes me mad.
Makes me mad.
Not so much because this is like a weaker side. The NSA is just a weak side. And you got people looking, taking a gander, and then if it's not serious, then that's where people can handle that. But then the next step is going to be, you know, really taking the next step.
You're getting searched at the mall before you go in. You
right.
Know, stuff like that where it's like slowly but surely taken away little by little. But at the same time, there's nuclear bombs, like you said.
Yeah.
When do you decide that you stop monitoring, but at the same time, now the guy with the nuke can get past the border and drop the nuke in New York City, you know what I mean? A dirty bomb goes off in New York City, something like that, because we weren't watching. So I think there's a two sides to every story, where it's like, if you want that security, you got to have people being monitored. But at the same time, that's taking away rights of people, you know, that have been established with a constitution.
I just don't think that the NSA is going to stop there. Like, our government is going to be looking for better ways and always faster and more spying, like, ways of getting into your personal world.
Yeah, I think it's always been going on. I just think the internet, and, you know, it makes it easier now to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when everybody's communicating on one specific website, like Facebook or something like that, you know, through email, it's easier to see what's going on than if people are talking on the phone or, you know, just, like I said, like face-to-face.
Well, I mean, what would you apply this type of technology towards? I mean, obviously, people who are obviously connected to the internet through their emails, pictures, phones, stuff like that. But those are all countries that are intelligent and have a good, like, you know, first-world sense and probably has nukes. But our main enemies are mostly, like, what, third-world countries?
No.
Okay, well, very, like, cheap industry countries that fucking...
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're on top. You know, like, militarily, we're
dominating. But I'm saying, like, these countries don't probably, one, probably couldn't... Like, okay, North Korea was... Or South Korea was one of the recent guys who were trying to create a nuclear facility to eventually have their own setup, you know, to have... Because, you know, obviously, it's only fair if everyone has a nuke. So... But there's other countries that don't have the nuke, and they're living just fine.
Yeah, but at the same time,
and there's, but
once shit goes down, what are they going
to
do?
Well, what I'm saying is the NSA and its use is only to keep track of you and I. Like, simple folk who aren't as so much a threat, but, like, keeping the secrets out amongst, like, people on the streets. Because people aren't communicating on the streets and, like, you know, doing backdoor deals anymore.
How do you know?
Maybe they are. Maybe that's honestly the best way to do it, I guess, if you're going to go at it. But that's what I'm saying. It's going to keep going to the point where they can track you anywhere.
So you're saying there needs to be a revolution?
Needs to be.
So that's that right there. We're done. We're getting shut down.
We need to be a revolution, yeah. It needs to be secrets. Especially with the public, though. And themselves. Like, I should be able to keep my secrets away from the government. But the government shouldn't keep its, like, main... I don't know, that's a touchy subject, those main secrets.
Do you think it should be that way? If you give them all your secrets, they should let them know, like, or let you know about your secrets?
Well, they're taking my secrets, so I should be able to get something back in return. Let me get Area 51 at least. Shit.
Right? Aliens, come on.
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Give me that benefactor there. Hold on. But, yeah, man, just what this all means is when we were originally talking about reincarnation, I just think it's all about energy. Dimensions, it's energy. Different form of energy. They're all, if energy, if art, like, you know how I was saying that, you know, this is an umbilical cord to this? Energy is just an umbilical cord to another dimension.
And the umbilical cord's on the baby, right when you're born.
Yeah.
And you need it to that mother. And that mother needs the father.
Where's that umbilical? See, me and Josh have always pondered. This is the greatest question that me and Josh, we've always asked ourselves when we first started doing podcasts, was the fact, like, what comes after God? And then what comes after that? And what comes after that? And then what comes after that? Like, I don't know. Who does it stop with? The universe. After the universe. After this and after that. What comes after that? After the beginning. Before the beginning.
On that note, ask your friends that question. Ask your family. Ask religious figures around you. Figure out what they have to feel, because we could be totally wrong. We could just be spouting bullshit right now, which is fine. Everybody else is spouting bullshit.
I'm fucking fine with it.
Yeah, everybody else is spouting bullshit. Again, I don't know what episode is this. Episode 24. This is the last episode in the wrap. I said 24. It was 23, but still, I'm sorry.
You do fuck up.
This is 24 again.
I'm always there for you, dude.
It's all right.
Carry you through the battles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why we're here, right?
You're like the prince. I'm like the king. Like, I hold your hand up at the end when we've all fought the war and you stood at home and just kind of collected.
But the kingdom will be mine one day.
Well, when I die. Take your time, though. I ain't going soon.
Alright. tell your friends, tell your family. Go on iTunes, Stitcher, write a review, go on our Twitter. Maybe let us know what you think about what is after God or what is out there.
Yeah.
For dimensional beings, aliens, all that stuff, all that conspiracy theories. Give me the YouTube videos with the crazy background music.
I need it.
The people blinking like, oh, look at them blink. Yeah. It's gonna be nice. Alright. That's just about it, I think. Anything else you wanna say?
Hell nah, dude. You feel that?
Feel that.
I feel a battle coming on.
The battle.
The end all battle battles. Coming on.
Alright.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to episode 24 of your positive podcast. Pokemon on the beat, we got Adam and Josh squaring off. I got my slow pokies. Pikachu is not gonna thunder shock me. I got the car keys and I'm driving tonight. Yeah, you ain't got me on your radar. When you're coming to me, I'm laughing with my slow bro coming at you. He is not passing out. He's got the game and he's spitting that fire. And while he bottles you with those Birkin stock attire, yeah. Listen up and you'll listen to a king, yeah. If you wanna know what I mean, I got evolution coming at you like pollution in your brain is getting insane with my Charizard level 100. He's holographic, yeah, he's doing the damage, yeah. I just can't stop it with my Blastoise hydro pumping at your brain while I'm hydro pumping your girl back of the plane that I'm driving in. Yeah, I'm killing it, I'm getting in. Pokemon battle, yeah, Master Ball kid. Ha, you know about me, it's up. I got that Pokemon battles all fucked up.
Yeah, boy, I'm a Squirtle, boy. I put you back in a hurt, cause I'm hurtling you, boy. Cause I got the cards that you ain't got. I got the rares on you on top. Now I think I got that Charizard. Here I go, I'm top. Baby girl, you got it, girl, I'm going insane. Get your Misty Yaga Brock, man, we doing a train. Hey, she want it, yeah, I got the gym badge. When she want it, yeah, get up on that ass. Oh, I take it to the league, cause I'm the got the team. I ain't got no eye in it, but damn, you sure you see me? Cause I'm just a beast, I'm taking out and Gary. See, I got every single the code. Yo, I put them in foil cards, making sure they protect my cards. Cause I'm taking out yards, man, I'm taking out yards. I'm going for the aisle. Coming back, taking everyone out this aisle. File, his spreading words on these kids. Cause the acid burns and his eyelids turn blackbird. Blackbird, cough, cough, blackbird, blackbird. Blackbird.
This nigga is so gay, I swear to God. I'm Gary, he's Ash, and in this universe, I'm Pokemon, you Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah, you Peter Pan, I'm Rufio. You a faggot bitch in green shorts, yeah. I'm a Charizard, 100 level card, yo. Yeah, I'm rare, I go there. Open the booster pack, I don't care what I got, it don't really matter, cause the whole collection is in my possession, yeah. Got every card and everywhere I go. Bitches be on my job, they gotta know that I'm the Pokemon Master. I'm the Pokemon Master, I blast it. Chill, bruh. Slow, bruh. Bruh, slow, bruh.